Welcome to Starfield Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just when I had to join us, we have talk guests every Thursday night starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444, just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talk Show website at www.talkshow.com and search for call ID 17702. Or you can watch me on twitch.tv. Yes, we do a co-broadcast over to there, or co-stream, however you want to call it. And, you know, just go to twitch.tv/SFUOnCall, and you will find me there. If you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on Twitter, just go to the account SFU on call. So that will tell you all about the podcast. And if you want to follow my personal account, which is Paul Franz, that's PAULFRANZ. That's my Twitter account there. Just a reminder, you know, I'm proud of being Catholic and O's fan, and I love technology. So if one of those doesn't float your boat, or it might bother you, then don't follow me. And of course, I have my business account, which is Franz Games, FranzGmes. Some quick news from ADB. They have many Shapeways minis, which they were released on the 11th of this month. That's January 11th, 2021. And the ones that there are a few that are of interest, which is they're learned vehicles for the Marines. An armored personnel carrier, things like that. For playing, the way I see it is that you can use them for actually playing on hex map with miniatures. So hopefully you can have also miniature soldiers on the map, which represent like a squadron of soldiers, and be a lot more interesting than just the counters that you currently are using. Also, hexless turn gauges, which I think is quite cool. If any of you guys remember, there were hexless turn gauges back in Module W. That's back in the day. Many, many years. I'm not sure if ADB even publishes Module W anymore, but I remember having a copy of Module W and having those turn gauges. Also, drone captor mines are now available, both large and small. They still haven't got the general captor, captor mines. So there's plenty more that can come from there, because there's many of them. Phasers, photons, hellbores. I'm not sure if when it comes to direct fire weapons, will they actually have different pips at all, or they'll just say, okay, this is a generic direct fire weapon one. I'm not sure. Obviously, there's also plasma, which would be interesting to see how they're going to do plasma, but we'll have to wait and see. Also, of course, there are many Klingon ships with a mix of Fed, Neo-Tholian, and Hydran, and Wind ships. I almost forgot the Winds. Moving on to the SFB Online tournament, that's right, the Sapphire Star 7 tournament signups are now closed. They got all 16 that they needed without me, which I'm glad that, we got 16 players without me, because yes, I like to play, but also I like to have it so that my customers get to play more often than I do when it comes to in tournaments, because especially since it's limited to 16 players. So, I'll join in to help out so that we can have the tournament go forward. But it's good to see that it did not need to happen. The tree will be up this weekend. I actually do have the email with the tree in it. I just have not had a chance to actually take the tree, create the proper file, and generate the tree for people to be able to report games. And just a quick ship summary. They have one Fed, two Klingons, one Romulan Firehawk, one Romulan Kestrel. Awesome ship. I love the Kestrel just because of I've gotten used to, I've gotten to like the idea of the RP arcs of the plasmas. And of course, having a Turbo B ship does not hurt at all. That's always very nice compared to Turbo C of the Firehawk or Turbo D of the Gorn when it comes to, we're talking about plasma ships. And that's the standard, you know, 2S, 2Fs configuration, that kind of thing. Moving on, one Zinni, one Neo-Tholian, which is interesting since obviously the Archeo-Tholian is considered the better ship, but there are two Archeo-Tholians too. So it's possible at some point we might actually have a civil war, which is always interesting when it comes to the Tholians because of the webs. When you have a Tholian, you get a Tholian can actually get caught in a Tholian web in a civil war because of, in that case, they actually have it. So the webs actually are the techno babble is that they have two different frequencies. And so the one ship can't go through the other one's webs, you know, because they're running on different frequencies, you know. There's two Hindrans, one Lyran, one Win Oxbox, which has the base of the normal phaser layout, you know, three phaser ones and a phaser G, and one Wind Fish, which is actually in the Zinni configuration, which means, for those who don't know what that means it has four drones instead of, in the case of the Klingon configuration, is two phasers, which means more phasers, more direct firepower, less drones. In the case of this one, it has more drones, so it's more the Zinni configuration, but obviously it's a Win, so a Win Fish, you know, which means that the hull configuration is completely different from the Zinni. So it, in theory, it should last longer to a certain degree. In certain cases, I still think the Zinni is a better overall ship just because of the number of boxes I think is greater in the Zinni versus the Wind Fish. Also, one Eldar and one Vudar and zero Andromedans. Sad space. Obviously, if I was playing, the Andromeda would be in there, and I wouldn't have to worry about the feds nearly as much. Of course, knowing things, I probably would first round fed versus Andromeda. Fed, I'd be facing a fed. But fortunately, that's not the case, so we'll move on from that. I actually did some online client stuff, and actually that's going to be tonight's topics, which is going to be the client updates that I worked on. I've not released them, but that I've worked on due to the feedback that I talked about last week. Just so one of those things was the main display when you log in. Now it's changed. So basically all you see is the chat room and then the game, the listing of the games, instead of being within that window, it now is a separate floating window that flows on top of the chat window. Also, I changed it so that the users are now on the left-hand side instead of the right-hand side of that chat screen so that you can have both those up and easily see all text and all users. So After I did the floating portion, I realized I needed to move the users to the left-hand side. Also, a big change for those people who you have to scroll around the map, which I think is everyone. One thing I changed was that now to scroll, you can use the scroll bars as you always have. But also, previously you would do a click and drag, and that would bring up a selection box so you can select multiple counters at one time. Now, that click drag, that now basically moves the map around, which I think might be more what people are expecting, and that's why I changed it. Now, if you hold down the shift key and do the click drag, it now does the selection box. When it comes to library, no progress there. some of the people actually when it comes to the regular library, left because they had other real life issues. When it comes to FedCom, I have not heard anything back from my other people, which I need to ping them and see what's going on. And that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one and only Power Friends, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, we got me. Barry's not here, and I don't see anyone else in the chat room at the moment. That might change, because it is what it is. Right now, streaming, obviously, for those on Twitch, then I'll see my lovely, lovely face on Twitch. So, this week, I decided to do some work on updating the client. You know, so, some of the changes that are requested, the biggest one, seemed like the one that was mentioned multiple times, was to modernize the client. It's like, okay, fine. I got an idea of, as you listened to last week's podcast, I have some idea of what that means. Now, it's going to require quite a bit more work than it is. And I'm actually going to need some input from the community on this. And I really am. Because of some of the changes that would be required might not sit well with some people. And here's the reason why. Because some of the changes that I'm thinking about doing to do it so it is modern is that instead of doing the way I'm currently doing it, which is has all these floating windows, you can switch back and forth between these windows. Some of the cool modern, I threw that in quotes because of define modern. I mean, really, define modern. My understanding of modern is go towards a kind of a unity kind of look that is windows that have no decoration. They're just kind of little squares. And then those rectangles really can be dragged around the screen, or you have the pop-up information that shows up on the side of the window, you know, and part of that is, in some cases, I'm actually, is a full screen application takes over the entire screen. I can do that. The question is, will people really want to do that for SAP Online? Well, do they want it so that it takes up the full screen? Yes, I actually looked at it a little more when it comes to sticking with Java, because some people say drop Java. Well, actually, there's one person said drop Java, but I don't think that's what they meant. What they meant is the look that Java gives. Now, Java itself is not bad. The look that Java gives is just the look of the window operating system that it's running under. If it's Windows, looks like Windows. If it's, God, I love one person who wrote, it's like, oh, write up as a Windows program, and then, you know, and then have to, and then don't worry about, like, you know, run on Wine or Linux and Mac. It's like, dude, do you realize what you are saying? The way I read that for Windows, okay, Windows application, okay, I can, what Java is, it looks like a Windows application because it basically is a Windows application. That's what you draw on the screen. The only things that are not window-ish is some of the stuff that I did when it comes to like the initial window that came up. The initial display that would come up is it's an interesting idea. And it's something that has not been used for a long time. that is the idea of the window as a desktop, where you have many windows inside the window, and that just is in the context of that window. Now, obviously, what I just described just a few minutes ago, that's exactly what they what people want. You know, it's basically they want a window as a desktop, but but where you have no what's called decoration. What decoration, for those people who don't know what that term means, it means, you know how you have the, like in the, on the Mac, you might have the dots on the screen. Actually, when I do this, let's go back to this. And like in the case of Mac, like that right up here, this and, you know, actually this mainly these buttons, those are considered decoration. The, these are newer applications where they don't have the title. They have the decoration, but without the title. You know, more classical application. Actually, let me see if I can bring up, let's say, calendar. Even calendar. Yeah. These are more modern applications. But the back in the day, the original applications, the right here at the top of the window, you'd have what's called a title, is what you'd have. It would say what kind, you know, browser or whatever. And that's kind of decoration. What people want is something without the decoration up here. No maximize, no minimize, no nothing. At least that's the way I read their what they say when they say modern. Now, it's possible I do what I could what I think they're saying, and they'll go, no, that's not what I meant by modern. Well, okay, then tell me what you meant by modern then. Because you've got a picture in your mind of what you mean. And you're not communicating that to me. Usually, as I pointed out on the BBS, you know, I mentioned this, and I mentioned it to you guys when talking about this. And that is, give me an example of what you mean by modern. Now, as I pointed out, Sean pointed out what he thought was modern, and the problem with his idea of modern was a video game. It's like, no, this is not a video game. Try again. Now, I'll have to agree that one of the crazy, freaking nut, crazy ideas, and I think it's, I say it's crazy. Also, I kind of like it if you're going to do what's basically what I would term speed SFB. Force people to make decisions quickly. Now, if you think about it, most people aren't looking for that. When it comes to Starfleet battles, in my mind, they're not looking for a real-time strategy. This is not a real-time strategy game. SFB is not a real-time strategy game. Starfleet Command, that was a real-time strategy game. That was implemented behind the scenes as a dynamic SFB system. That, you know, yes, it took so much energy. You require so much energy to fire a photon. So if you looked at it, it actually, you could track the you say, oh, I'm charging my photon. Well, it's going to take so long to fill up that photon, to get that basic, to charge that photon tube. And I did not look at this in detail, which is, I'm willing to bet, like the phasers, this charging cycle was a lot less. And same with disruptors, this charging cycle, how long it took to recharge, it was less. Now, obviously, if the original Starfleet command, it actually followed SMB rules and on the basis, you know, that you have so much energy, which is actually generated by the ship, and then you can define where you want to put that. Where you want to put that as reinforcement, you want to put that as speed, if you want to put that towards weapons, things like that. You know, that's SFB in a dynamic sense. And actually, one time long ago, there was a guy who actually did a system like that. And Steve Cole asked me if I could work with him, and I'm not sure what he was expecting of that, and that kind of dropped off the face of the earth after I contacted him. You know, he explained it to me, and then nothing happened. He didn't. I was not really that interested, and he didn't push, so it disappeared. Now, moving forward, the idea of, in my mind, modern is a more of a unity style where you have no decoration. Now, there are other things that I consider to be modern, i.e., for example, when it comes to the actual game room, because currently in the game room you have these different tabs. The whole idea of a more modern game, more modern client, is to remove all the tabs. There is no tabs anymore. Those would be pop-ups. So you could bring up in the case, and I can definitely see this when it comes to the impulses, you know, that necessarily doesn't really need to be a tab or when, because I don't think there's anyone who's constantly just keeping an eye on the impulse chart. Most probably what they're doing is they're doing what I'm assuming they would do what I'm doing, which is I bring up the impulse chart every so often when I want to see, okay, what are the current speeds for all the people? All the units on the board. When do they move? When do I move? Which is all part of playing SFB, is knowing when you move, when your opponent moves. And that's obviously part of the decision. I'm going to bring this up real quick. To show what there's one change I made and I wanted to show off so that people can see where this is the start. This is just the start. All the changes that are going to be required is a long, long process. At the moment, that's one thing I really want to talk to people about, and I have no way of communicating with them because there's no single forum which I can post and get the most response, because people are everywhere. I got some people on Discord. They're a small group that are Discord people. I've got the people over on discussion board. Those are the old timers. Those are the people that have been playing SFB Online for years, which is probably where I'm going to focus my efforts, because those are the people I don't want to tick off too badly. The people that already are veterans have already lived through some of the worst of the changes that were required by Steve Cole, i.e. the switch from the original SSDs to the third gen SSDs. You know, that some people, as soon as that happened, they say they will never come back, because until they restore the SSDs, you know, they're not going to come back. And as I pointed out last week, that was actually one of the people's request. And that is, they wanted, I just want to make sure about this. They wanted the ability to have it so that they purchase an SSD book. And that SSD book is now that all those all of those ships are now available in the library. They're not asking at all for you know, to make all the ships available to the client that are that they have not bought. But they like to have that synergy between what ADB is doing or what they purchased from ADB and also the library. Now, the thing is that I don't see that ever happening, honestly, so because of the whole, actually, here's the funny part in my mind. Here is the funny part in that, in theory, Steve Cole could have it so that you would have to purchase the libraries, or possibly even, I know Ted Fay had mentioned how, you know, I'll be willing to pay more to have the original SSDs available. In theory, I could actually, I'm willing to bet you good money that I could get more people on the client, and the price per month would go up based on what you buy, you know, when it comes to what SSDs that you want to have available. And you know, they're concerned all about the sales dying. Well, the sides are sales, that horse has left the barn. The sales are already gone. And I'm willing to bet you any person who used the SSB online to steal, I'm not sure, you know, okay, they stole them, and what did they do with them? You know, did they? It's possible they use those SSD to play with. I'm not sure. In case that's kind of a good thing, kind of a bad thing. It's a kind of a good thing in that it encourages them to play. Then you have the people who take it, and they're completionists. They're librarians. They're archivists. They're people who just want to make sure they have a copy of the product available to them. You know, now previously they might have bought a copy and then scanned in those copies and then chucked the books. Not sure. Of course, there's the pirates that did it. Now the question, the pirates still can do it today. All you need to have is one person that the scans in the image is enough to do these days. I got a scanner here. All I need to do is buy an SSD book with or without bindings. I'm pretty sure I can buy them without bindings. Shove it in there in the scanner, and I could scan all the SSDs and then go boom and post it on a pirate site someplace. All it takes is one person to be willing to purchase the SSDs and do that. And because as soon as it gets on the internet, it's hard to remove it, you know? Kind of goofy. But anyway, sorry. Got sidetracked there. I'm going to move over to this so that you can see what the new initial display is going to look like. When you have, you're going to bring up, you will see this screen. Overall, you'll... This is the proportions, the way it will initially look when it comes to the windowing here. Obviously, this won't be filled in. And let me log in here. Okay. Let me make sure about this, because I think actually that I'm not actually did not switch. Let's take a look. See, ba ba ba. Gonna give a 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It's still not switching. It doesn't look. Okay, hold on. Yep, it's still not switching. Oh, yeah. That's why. Because I'm an idiot. I was pressing the wrong button. I have hotkeys set up and I was pressing the wrong hotkey. I apologize. Yes, I'm using OBS for those people who look at that. Okay. Back to what I meant to be showing you, which is this window. Okay, here's the login. Obviously, the login wouldn't be filled in, but this is pretty much what you would see. You do your login. I plan on doing something different here, but that requires some back-end work. And that is the whole idea of basically have it so that you can sign up within the client. You sign up, you give a username, you give a password, and more importantly, you give an email address and your real name, and that all gets registered automatically with the server, and the server then knows that you are a demo account. Instead of what currently I do, which is click on the demo account, because what that would actually exercise for me is that at that point, I can say, okay, you signed up, congratulations. And then possibly at that point, send them a greeting email. Hopefully at that point, I'll have some videos to introduce them to the client if they have issues with the client. Now, there are some minor issues. Because the question is, do I do it that way, or do I do the twofold setup, which might be the better setup way of setting up, because that's the best practices these days. Which is what you do is that have someone sign up on the web page, then you send them a confirmation email, and then they click the confirmation email to confirm the email account that they have access to that email account. And then go from there. Now, it slows things down when it comes to the client. But if the signup is embedded in the client itself, I think that I'm less likely to have problems with spammers. Because if you have spammers bringing up the client, or worse, debugging the client, bringing it down and actually looking into the client, say, how does he do this? At that point, they're working pretty hard to spam a little person like me. In which case, they're wasting their time. So, anyhow. Okay, you do this. We still have this. What I want to do here's a little different. Because also, I asked people, okay, do you want to see it so that basically for SFB Online, you only see, if you just want to play SFB, you see only SFB rooms. If you play FedCom, you only see FedCom rooms, that kind of thing. So it's kind of separate servers kind of thing, but same with a common login. So you do a login, and at that point, you'll see that currently there's one room here, which is the only person in there is Peter Cool. And you'll see that we have the usernames listed on the left here. Previously it was on the right. This games window here is now floating above it. And I changed this from being over here on the right-hand side to left-hand side, because I figured that if we can have this floating above the chat room, it's okay if we cut off the right-hand portion of the text, because this is English. I don't have to worry about if we're going to do Arabic or Hebrew or things like that, right-oriented languages. Because I don't support right-oriented language, I just don't. And I don't think that's gonna be a really big audience for us, But anyhow, so if that truly was the case, you know, I'd say people just move it over here, you know. But anyway, have it over here so you can still see all the, when you type in, you know, let's say hello there and just do that. So, you know, so all you have in the main window here is the chat room. This game room is no longer part of this window. Now, what I like to do, and it's not easy at the moment, which is have it so this window here is just the chat room. Based on the current code base, that's hard to do. So I said, okay, let's go. I'm going to see if I can get it so that this has no decoration. If I can remove the decoration here. I'll check. I'm hoping I can, which would basically solve the issue at that point. So I haven't tried that. This I might be able to do that and get rid of this, the decoration here, which then will be make everybody happy. So also the one, you know, let me show you the other change. This is a minor change, which is now this says create new game room. So what I also want to do, if you notice in this game window here, previously I had icons down here, which was an enter icon and a refresh icon. I got rid of those. I actually just made plain text buttons. Plain text buttons. I'm also planning on changing this. I've had some feedback that some people don't like this. They really liked the drop down, you know. I think it's boring, but same time, I can see this as being confusing. So what I want to do is I want to change this basically to be a list is what I want to do. I want to have it as a list view and just say, okay, well, we have, you know, we have FNE, we have Federation Command, you know, and actually in the case of when we have an SFB versus a FedCom, you won't, for SFB, you won't see some, a lot of these, all you see is you'll see this guy, the cadet rules, the tournament room, the campaign room. You won't see Starfleet Marines. So you'd only see these four cadets from FedCom. You would just see these two. And if you wanted to play Star Mata, it'd be these two, which actually, that's in kind of beta. So I haven't even really completed those. And FNE, you know, I should remove that because of it was something we worked on. We never actually completed. So anyhow, let's just double click here. Actually, and so, you know, enter creating an SFB room. Okay. Now there's another minor change. The idea being is to think of the rooms as games instead of rooms. So the default template now saying room one is saying group, is saying game one. So then you click OK. This is one of those things that would, as a default, would go away. You no longer see that. The idea would be that you would see only the map here. Now, you know, yeah. And these tabs would all go away. These would be floating windows, kind of to a certain degree. Here's the goofiness, okay? The way I imagine it when it comes to this room, to the game board, is this would be a tremendous change, and for a lot of the tournament players, this have very little effect on them. In fact, I'm sure what I plan on doing is very in line with what they would actually like to see. And And that is, okay, let me just do this. Minor change that I'm just pointing out here, which is currently Zoom, you get in and out, and you can use the scroll wheel to zoom. Previously, it had an option so you could use the scroll wheel to scroll, to have so the map can scroll up and down. I removed that feature. I said, okay, no, we're going to have one way of doing it. The one way of doing it is that the scroll wheel means zoom. Plain simple. I'm not sure what's going on here. I think I might have broken something. Because I'm right-clicking, it's not showing a pop-up. Which means I probably broke something. But it doesn't matter. I can just click on the plus button. Let's go red. Okay. I'm not sure if I might change what the default colorations here. And when it comes to default, I might change it to be, oh boy, I did it again. Forgot about that. Let's do this. Let's go for settings. Let's go map color. Let's go map color black. And board, I did it again. Line color, let's do it like gray. And then board settings, text color, let's make that also a nice light gray and turn it on. I might have it, so basically what is the default board looks like a standard board, you know. So it's, you know, black background, light gray lines, not white, and have the numbers. That might be the default. Now, this is what I'm talking about. See, now I can just click and drag. And then I can, from my bring up a selection window, I just click, hit the shift key, and I click and drag. And I'll bring up a selection. Now, the weirdness, of course, is that to unselect it, you can't just do click because it thinks you want to drag the board. I might look into maybe having so you can do that, but at the moment, you have to hold down the shift key and click to deselect it. That might be one of those little idiosyncrasies that I might have people live with. I'm not sure. I can probably have it so as long as people, when they click down and click and let and release, that they don't move the mouse at all. Or if I give it a little fudge factor. You know, the problem is, you know, if you notice, see, if I just move it just a little bit, it actually drags the board, you know, because currently you can do this. You can do a selection and then you can say drag the board. The items are still selected, which in my mind, that's a good thing. But that's one of those things that is changed. But the idea, okay, the one thing I was mentioning, okay, let's do this. It's floating windows, SSD. Now, this is what would be changing. Where I think people might get a little upset in some cases. In other cases, I think they'll be fine with it. Which is the idea of the ship information for everything for the ship. Instead of splitting it up into individual panes, what you would do is have all of these tabs in this one window. So you'd have tabs, which I think is still needed. But I group all the information about the ship in a single window. Now, that obviously produces a problem in certain cases. i.e. the case of energy allocation. With energy allocation, you want to have the ability to see your SSD, so then after that, you can actually you want to look at the different SSDs based on the status of your ships, so you know what you want to do, how many weapons are destroyed. You know, obviously you'll know how much power it is, because when you do a start turn, first thing that the client does is it calculates how much power that you have available. And so at that point, you're fine, you know, but, you know, that's the wrong one. Here. There. And I was, and the thing is that like this window also would be flooding above the map always, so it might cover the map some. So, but you know, you can turn this, you can hide the window so you wouldn't see it. As is, if you turn it off here, if you notice, it's gone. So the only way to do this, actually, you have to go to the floating window and say, "Can you stop floating?" Then it'll bring it back, and then you can, if once you can bring back the floating window if you want. It's one of those goofy glitches, because in theory, you probably, if you, when you close the window, it should automatically make it a tab, switch it from being a window to a tab. But it doesn't at the moment. I've not heard a single complaint about that. You know, it's one of those things. You know, this log, which is basically, this log is a personal log. This log, you know, again, it's one of those things that it should be, it probably best if it wasn't a tab and just, it was just a floating window to begin with. Just like the impulse chart and notes. All of those, all three of those, probably should just be floating windows. It's a pop-up window that you can bring up and look at when you need it. That I don't think will upset people too terribly much, because I don't see anyone that actually has the log as a separate window or anything like that. I don't see that at the moment. You know, obviously, I'd like to talk to people about this. And I'm probably going to provide a post on the discussion board so that people know this. But things like the weapon status, having the weapon status dialogue here. Oops, did it again. Having this weapon status as a tab to this window, I see that as people, I can see that as something that people would really like. In other words, look at the ship, go click. Okay, what is the weapon status for this ship? Whether it's your ship or your opponent's ship, you can see the weapon status by switching between the two tabs. Now, the one thing that I'm concerned about with all these changes, in my mind, just like also Expendables would be a separate tab. So you know, you have your this, you know, this would be starting, you know, the same way. The problem, obviously, with going from here and putting that here, actually, what I was thinking about doing was that the Expendables then would be different. You'd have what you would have is a shuttle tab, which has just this shuttle piece. You have a general tab which has all of these other things that keep track of, like what your breakdown is, whether you use the HEP bonus or not, number of probes left, number of crew units you have available, number of deck crews, commandos, boarding parties that you have left, T-bombs, fake T-bombs, NSMs, if you have an NSM. In the case of Romulans, the only ones that have actually NSMs. But, you know, that's why you have these drop-downs. And, of course, also your explosion strength, which is interesting. And, you know, storage would be... this would be, you know, a separate tab, and that's fine. What I think you'd have a problem with is, I did it again. Let's bring up. Okay. Sorry about that. I forgot about that. Let's just go submit. I don't care if it's junk. But I forgot that. I added that that's one of those features that I added because of there were some people who actually were adding ships during EA and it was totally screwing things up. Because what you would have is you'd have like the Klingon ship, or in this case the Klingon ship. You have a ship that was added, but it was not on the same turn. You'd be missing a turn. And as it is, there's already issues with that kind of weirdness, that when you add, like, you have reinforcements come in, they might be on turn one when it comes to energy allocation, while everyone else might be on turn five, you know. So now if you go back here to expenditures and you go to the Clink, it has a seeking weapons. This is the tab that if I add that to this, that might be a little concerning, because if you notice here, in my mind, the biggest issue is that it's designed to be very wide. Now, this could be changed, obviously. You have it so the columns are not how much drone space you have, the columns are the racks themselves. And so that you basically fill it down. The drone rack is filled down or filled up, however you want to see it. So that's one, that'd be one way to resolve that issue. And drone packages available, that might be completely removed. You might actually have to have a separate way of actually, because see, one thing here, let's go like this. See this, these buttons here? This allows you to design your own drones at this point. You know, you can say, okay, I want a type 3 standard drone. Last name is going to be Big Drone. Okay. Actually, let's make it a type 4. Still got the X drones too. I've got this huge drone. Let's say it's that. Let's add a 2 space explosion, and 1 space explosion, and a null space. Not enough room. So basically, a huge drone has 3 spaces in it, and so you can design your drone, and then you can say, okay. That's good. Okay. Now you got a big drone here, which is type H, XXF. So that's kind of the designation of it, because I have to way of designating the different modules that have been added to the drone. In that case, you know, if I want to... Actually, this one won't allow me to add a big drone because of... This drone rack only allows type 1 or type 2. So 2 space drones are the biggest drones that will fit in the rack. This is all part of the metadata which has been added to the client. So, you know, in that case, because also that's in there. One of the reasons, obviously, for that is for the dogfight, you know, the ad racks. Where the ad racks... You can actually have these. You know, the reason why this is just showing the drone package. You know, the drone package is available for that drone rack. And these are the ones that are currently there. And obviously this one, these are it. You can't add different other packages. I wonder why that is the case. Because in theory, you can actually... I'd have to look at that more. Because I was thinking about it, you can actually have explosion. Also, you can have slug drones. Can probably have slug drones and add racks. Yeah. Because it will fit dogfight drones. So why not have them being slug? I just realized in theory you could do that. But anyway, okay. So that would require a re-implementation of this screen. So as I said, it's more vertically oriented versus horizontal oriented because of the SSD itself is very vertically oriented. And so that you can have these smaller windows which are floating above the map, and then you, for this one ship, you would then you'd actually the tab here, the tabs would be ship expendables, or sorry, ship shuttles, seeking weapons probably, because the most part, whether you have drones or plasmas, they're both seeking weapons. In case you might have both, the question is, would you want to have those actually on separate tabs? That might be better if you have them on separate tabs, because in that case, you have them on separate tabs. You don't have to worry about being really very vertical oriented, where you have to scroll. To, like in the case, you might have the drones at the top and plasma at the bottom. You won't have to scroll greatly between the two, and you know, having, so you have to scroll side, you know, left right is also bad. The idea is that you can bring up that tab, see the information, and move onward. Now, that brings up an excellent question, though, and that is, do you have one of those windows per ship? You can do that, but it makes it very difficult to do certain things. But, you know, it's nice in the case of tournament play. That's a gorgeous, beautiful thing. Because of, in that case, in the case of tournament play, you just have the two SSDs, and that has all the information. No big deal. But in the case of fleets, do you want to have those ships up all the SSD sheets all up all the time, or how do you want to have it so that you can easily switch between the ships to find their status? See, this is the kind of things that for most modern games don't have to deal with. Because most modern games that I've found so far they don't actually go into detail about the systems. This stuff that I'm showing here, that stuff is basically only shown in the case of like a video game. They might show, you know, even this is going to be streamlined. It'll show, okay, it might show a warp, you know, a warp engine. And then you just have a bar showing how much energy is in that engine. You know, shuttles, you know, again, you would not see shuttle boxes. You'd see number of shuttles that you can launch, and the shuttle bay would be completely upside. You wouldn't see a ship. Harlow, a lot of the stuff would completely be removed and abstracted out. In modern games, at least the way I've seen them, they're all drastically reduced in complication. And the thing is, SFB, that's not what, if you're playing SFB, that's not SFB. That is a watered down, okay, it's an abstraction of what SFB is. You know, it's a boiling it down to what the basis of it is. It still SFB? Yeah. Does it have all the detail and luscious, I call realism? Eh. I think you lose something when you abstract out what SFB is. Because a lot of the stuff's already, you know, there's a lot of automation that already takes place as part of the game. Not a lot, but enough so that it will help you to move the game forward. For example, I already got EAs that it will automatically add it to you. Have utilities here. Now, these will have to be, trust me, there's a lot of the stuff I'm just going to completely just remove. Fleet info, get rid of that. Range tractor. This will never go away, because this is the one thing that people rely on being available, which is the range tracker. So that will tell them when their ships are close enough. Now, obviously, here's one thing that some people do not realize. And this is here. Yep, here it is. Alarm list. This is a feature that I don't think many people actually know about, because they really haven't looked into it and haven't really known the client as much as I do. I added this feature a long time ago. This is a range alarm. The idea, okay, range from red to clink. This is the message says stop. And it's going to be less than range 5. Okay. So criteria, it's going to say a stop. All right, that's a bad message, but it is. So if I go, okay, that's actually. That is. Okay, that is now range 6. Now, that's range 5. Now, watch. Boom. Alarm goes off, goes, hey, you're closer than 5 hexes. Stop. So, these are little features that most people, I don't think they know about. What else? There's some other ones. Now you have a range alarm. You have impulse alarm. Actually this speed change alarm, that's what actually notifies you that it reminds you that, hey, you have a speed change, this impulse. An impulse alarm is a simple alarm, obviously. Good impulse alarm, boom. And then you just tell it what turn and what impulse. The idea being, obviously, is that if you want a reminder going, hey, it's impulse 20, and you want to do something on that impulse, or look at, you know, remind you that, hey, look at the situation, remember that you want to do something, and you can put a little message here to tell you what you wanted to do. So you know, there's two little alarms that you can add into your game so you can actually put a reminders for yourself. Or in the case, I said, you know, the alarm for range, so that, you know, if you never want to get closer than, let's say, range 6, it will scream at you going, hey, you are at range 6. Which might have helped me with my last game that I played. I forgot I set an alarm. But, yeah, I didn't. So anyway, this is the kind of things that I'm thinking about, you know, because I think that's what people want. Now, this whole thing here at the moment, while I was thinking about doing as a first step, I'm not sure where the final product would be, because the idea is to get away from menus. Though in some cases, you know, basically get rid of these menus and more have it more based on, I'm assuming, icons. And what I do is, currently you can kind of do this, but not quite, which is, come on. I think it blocked up, didn't it? Okay. Sorry, Peter. But okay. At the moment, yeah, you can do this. You can actually click and drag it to different parts of the board. That's the way it's designed. Or if you want to, you can put it down the bottom. But I think what most people want is this as this, basically. They want a floating palette. And obviously the palette would be a little different than it is like this. It would be more vertically oriented. And I probably have like the impulse maybe at the top. I'm not sure about the send feedback button. If I would keep that, I'm not sure how I would do a send feedback. Because that's one thing I don't want to get rid of, because I think that it's important for me to have that button so that people can click on it and send me feedback, i.e. The client just did something wonky. I'm sending you feedback. I want to tell you what happened. And more importantly, here's information that I can send to you that can help you debug the issue and possibly fix the issue in a timely fashion. Because it's like the whole doctor thing. Doctor, you know, it hurts when I do this. Well, don't do that. Basically, it doesn't tell him anything if bending your arm hurts. I'll tell you, okay, go get an x-ray, go get an MRI. All depends on what he feels best. So, given that, you know, that's why I really feel strongly about keeping the send feedback button. Now, the question, where do I leave it? But that's another thing moving closer to a more modern client. Now, the activity, that's one of those ones which I might have some fight back on. Because as I pointed out last week, what one of the suggestions was, and I like the idea. I really do. Because, well, doesn't help that I'm part of what's called the PIA camp, pure impulse activity, not call for fire. The idea being that I don't know what you're doing. You don't know what I'm doing. You would just notify actions. And we, you know, and in the case, as I said last week, it is the ultimate PIA, which I thought about this too many years ago, really too many years ago. I looked it up. I forget how many years ago it was. I think it was over 15 years ago. Can it be that long? Probably. But there was a huge, huge, huge blow-up argument on the discussion board. Huge blow-up. I archived the whole discussion, but Lord knows, heated things were said. And that's also why the discussion was removed. But anyway, because people were arguing, oh, well, this is the way we've always done it in real life. And it's like, isn't the board game supposed to simulate real life? No, the way they implement the board is supposed to implement what the rules say. Now, there's nothing, there's absolutely zero places in the rules that says if you have no activity, then announce that you have fire. There's nothing in the rules that say that. The rules state for SFB that you go through each and every impulse segment to find out, okay, do you have activity? No. Do you have activity? No. And each of those segments, you're supposed to announce what activity, if you have any activity, for each one of those segments. Now, in theory, when you computerize it, you could have it so that it basically, you have a little countdown timer segment, and like every 2 seconds, give you 2 seconds for each segment. Boom, 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 boom. And the question is, when do you stop? Because there's so many segments. There are easily, I'm going to say, over 20 segments, probably even more, because there's segments and there's sub-segments. And the thing is, it's not just the individual, the larger segments, but it's just, you have to do it also for the sub-segments, because depending upon what you're doing, each like system or weapon gets used on a certain segment. For example, a big one, as I pointed out, shield crackers. Shield crackers are not fired on fire. Shield crackers are fired shield. Shield operations. Up and down. Shield operations. That's where that occurs. So by the time, if you say, oh, I want to fire my shield crackers, well, by the time you get to the fire decision segment, it's too late. You were supposed to fire them back in at the shield segment. This is one of those edge cases. This is one of those edge cases where you really have to think about what you're going to implement. I don't know. But in any case, those are the things I have to think about. You can do it. So I think the guy actually said, can we have it so that it's just automatic? Boom, 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 boom. And it's like, no. But what I'm thinking about doing is something which might piss off some people, and that's why I want to have a discussion about it, which is have it so that it's PIA. It's pure impulse activity. There is no call for fire anymore. When you say fire, it fires. It's fire decision. You pick what you're going to fire and so forth. Because I know one of the complaints was it's very confusing when it comes to activity. Well, I agree. That is Okay, that's. Show this, and then I'll say, give me activity. This is the current one. Now, I thought about this a while back, and you see that this is the tree structure of the impulse, the different impulse segments, and then the sub segments of those, and the sub segments of those. So in the case. But I also have some quick selection. So you want to do launch drone, launch plasma. Okay, that's this segment. Then you have, after launching plasma, then you have launching drone down here, which is after plasma. So if someone launches plasma, if someone launches a drone, it's too late. You can't launch plasma by that point. If someone decides, okay, I'm going to drop chaff, which is interesting by itself. If someone drops chaff, it's too late. You cannot launch drones at that point. Oh, someone decides that, oh, I'm going to launch a shuttlecraft. Or, you know, if I decide I'm going to launch a shuttlecraft, you can no longer recover a shuttlecraft. You're too late. These are the little things. Now, what the plan was, what the plan is, and I want discussion with the people who play, which is the plan is for a PIA system, and which is over here you have a floating window, which is basically all of the, see this drop down here? Other than the Aegis, I'm not sure what to do with the Aegis. But, you know, things like most of the most used functions, change speed. Actually, I'm not gonna change speed. I'm not sure why change speed is even. Yeah, it is actually. Change speed, tractor, lab, launch drones, transport, launch. Plasma drones, transport, launch shuttle, or fire weapons. And then it would bring up this dialogue. Now, this is one of those things that would not change because Lord knows this would cause all kinds of grief. And that is, if you had to go to each individual ship and say, fire. I want to fire, this from this weapons, this from this ship, this from this ship. No. That's why I added this functionality into the FedCom room so that now you see a listing of all the weapons for all the ships. See the ship names here and all the weapons. The whole idea of the beauty of this whole list is that in a case of a fleet, you can announce all of what you're firing. Now, again, see this little button here? Fire Alpha. This is a beautiful, beautiful dialogue, which I'm not sure people know about. Because it actually does things that some people want, which is what it will do in the case of, let's say, red. I want, the target is Clink, so I want to fire from red to the Clink, to Clink. Now, what I want to do is I want to include all weapons. Obviously, down here, I can actually exclude weapons if I want, but I want to fire all weapons for red to the Clink. Now, boom. It will then, now, if you'll see, for those who are watching the video feed, it will select every single weapon that is in arc to fire upon the Clink ship. Fire, front half, right, 360s, because if you look at this right here, this guy is right front right. And if you go back over to here, you will see that the left front left, those phasers are not an arc, and they're not selected to fire. Clear. Yeah, I want to clear, I want to fire, yes. And here, and again, something simple like, oh, you know, exclude the fires, the weapons that I fired this turn. The reason why I even have this option is because there's no way to undo. If you say I fired, and all of a sudden, you know, you realized, oh, wait a minute, either I didn't have the power to fire it, or that that weapon was not in arc. I had no way of correcting it. But, you know, again, red clink, you can say that. Okay, or let me say, I want to exclude phaser threes. So don't fire phaser threes at them. Now, again, you have all left, front, left. You got your phaser threes are now deselected. They're in arc, but they're deselected because it's like, oh, we don't want to fire at him. Now, if you say, well, I don't want to fire at the targets that are greater than a certain range, well, that's your own fault. That's only, you know, that's something that I could, in theory, I could add, you know, say, well, actually, in that case, what you'd want to do is change the from list based on the target list. You know, because you say, okay, this is a target, and then possibly the from list gets updated with the ranges. So then you can decide if you want to fire weapons from that on that to fire alpha on that target. But that's something that I'm not sure people actually realize, is that they can do that. You know. But anyhow, but you know, simplifying this, you know, dialogue, the probably one thing I plan on doing, which actually is doing a list here instead of this. Now, the of course, the big issue here is going to be, it's going to be a pretty long, long list of things you can do. And I think that's not what people want. What people want is this. They want this list is what they want. But the thing is, there's still activities that are not covered in that list. There's still activities that are so specific, like, as I said, drop chaff. If you're going to drop chaff, which is not on the most used list, those are the things that are used the most often. Drop chaff, how often are you playing with fighters and you drop chaff? It's rare. You might do it, but, you know, when it comes to recovering a shuttle, yeah, do you recover a shuttle? Yeah, you do. How often do you actually recover a shuttle? In most combats, you don't. It's a rare thing indeed. Most of the time, when you're talking about recovering shuttles or recovering fighters, things like that, that's in a long-standing fleet battle, which will take you not hours, but days to play. So, you know, those are limited use cases. In most cases, once a shuttle is out there, you don't recover it. Things like that, which it's a rare bird indeed that you actually use that. But here's the thing. Here's the gotcha. I will still need to implement the idea that you actually can do that. So, you know, can have it so that, you know, the main ones are available. You know, now that there's part of buttons, but I'm going to have a miscellaneous button. Now, the question is how many people will be up to that. Now, and also, there's the big issue, of course, is sometimes pictures are better, are a lot louder. Well, pictures are a lot more understandable than words. They're louder than words is what the phrase is. or a picture, one picture is worth a thousand words, you know, and a lot, in some cases, it can be well understood about what is being described. Now, how that, you know, again, a picture is limited in that it's static, you know, and Lord knows if I implement this, it's going to have to be both. I want to discuss how it's going to work. And then, of course, some people are going to say, well, can you show me a picture of it? Well, showing a picture of it, you know how that takes a lot of time to actually write, to have it so that you can actually see what it's going to look like. Actually, I have to half write the code to show you. Because Lord knows, I don't know how to use design tools that allow you to do things like that, you know? So to me, it's faster in my mind, probably short term, it's faster to write the code. Long term, it would probably be best if I used tools that actually allowed me to show buttons and add buttons and things like that to the screen, you know? Anyway. I'll wrap up with that. So, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.